Well, Lou, I guess it'll be our job to try to impress Teddy as much as obviously the big lug over here is.
I'm starting to take it personal.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't take it too personally. You know, we can work it up. He's going to be on every week, normally at 4:30. Today it happens to be 5:30 because we had the late baseball game, and it's all brought to you by Mass General Hospital Cancer Center, Everyday Amazing, by Northeast Men's Clinic, specializing exclusively in men's sexual health. Can help you out, Christian, and McFarland Energy, Shaw's and Star Market, and by the Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers. Teddy Bruschi joins us live. How are you doing?
What's up, guys? Hey, Lou, Glenn, you guys are okay with me, too.
You know, right? But Teddy, I get it. You know, you guys are teammates. There's nothing like that bond when you shower together. You can't break that bond. It's just taking a little personal. It's all, you know.
Lou's sensitive, Teddy. He's sensitive. You get it. You'll figure it out. Baseball players, they're sensitive. All right, let's start with this. Did you see the epilogue today of Tom versus Time? And what's your take?
Just a little bit of it. We covered it a little on NFL Live about Tom, I think, asserting the number of 45 in terms of how long he wants to play.
Mm-hmm. That's it, right? That's all you took from it?
And I think, that's the big part of it. I think a lot of the thinking was, how long does Tom think he has left? And is he still motivated enough to try and get to that 45 number? Because we all know that's the number that it's been. That's what he's talked about. You know, in front of the mic, behind closed doors, that number 45 is something he thinks he can attain. And, you know, for me, it's going to be very difficult. It's going to be a difficult thing to do. I think you keep a close eye on him in September and October, because how many hits is he taking? I mean, he's going up against the Houston Texans this week. Does he take hits? Because when you get older, you know, me and Christian know this. You get older, you get hits, and you keep feeling them until Fridays or Saturdays, or, you know, September hits that linger, they linger into October. The October hits, then they just start piling on top of each other, and then you're still healthy in December, but you're just not who you were maybe to start the season. So hopefully they can protect Tom for a few more years, and he can maybe achieve what he wants to achieve.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm most impressed with, Teddy, is the fact that, not that he, you know, he should be good at the game because he's older and he's seen so much, but because I always thought that it's not the fact that you just got sick of getting hit. Like, you didn't want to have to deal with those hits into September and October. You just got tired of it. For me, that was one of the, you know, biggest catalysts, is just, I was just tired of it and I wanted to avoid it. I mean, is that, when you look at him and his ability to stay in there, is that one of the things that you're most impressed with, the fact that he's still going?
Yeah, and the fact that even, you know, discipline, not just to have the determination to want to continue, but also the discipline to continue to do things that keep you on the field, because that discipline, as you get older, has to ratchet up even more. And, of course, the whole philosophy of the TB12 philosophy, the nutrition, the pliability, Alex Guerrero, what he does for him, it's all very important. He all believes it wholeheartedly, and that's important, too, because he has to continue to do that to rehabilitate himself after every single week, because he does take shots. I mean, there are big 300-pound men that are laying on him out there, and he is going to get beat up. And so that discipline to still continue that method of what he puts in his body and getting his body right by the time he can have good practices, maybe Thursday or Friday, because he'll still have the same routine. He'll get a day off during the week, maybe to rest the shoulder, rest the body an extra day or something like that. But when it comes down to it, practice is still very valuable within that program, within that organization. So him being healthy to be able to, you know, continue to improve with the guys in a practice situation also is important.
You know, Teddy, the other thing, too, that came out of it was him just saying he doesn't really care what people are saying or thinking or feeling anymore. And we've seen a little bit of that. You know, he's cut a couple interviews off, and you're just wondering that, you know, Deflategate kind of, and his mother going through what she went through, if that just sort of opened his eyes to kind of have a different sort of feeling of how he wants to deal with others.
Yeah, but, Lou, he does have the attitude also of positivity and always being positive and always looking at things from, you know, a positive light, so he doesn't have to get in that mental state that brings him down. I mean, he doesn't want to get that way, but still it's hard to, I mean, we've seen him emotional. And I've seen him in the locker room. I've seen him with teammates on the sideline when they're talking trash, and when he gets into it with them, there is that aggressive personality that he suppresses a lot, but it's still there. And as he gets older, it starts to come out a little bit. I understand that. We're starting to see that a little bit more. I, of course, heard about the interview he hung up on and some of the things he's getting fed up with. And that just happens with old age. So
he's cranky.
I like it.
He's cranky.
I like it from him, actually, you know, but
what's next? Get off my lawn.
That's just who he is. Bring it.
That's what happens when you get old. That's where you just get cranky. Yeah. All right, so you talked about him getting hit, Titty. You talked about him getting hit out there, and he's had a career where he's had Matt Light, he's had Nate Solder protecting that blind side. Trent Brown is the guy right now. He's shown some nice signs during the preseason, also shown that maybe there's some conditional issues or whatever. How important is Trent Brown to this team right now and to his health?
I think Trent Brown's one of the main reasons why Tom Brady might make 42. I mean, if he doesn't get protected by Trent Brown on that left side, he may not make 41 and a half. I mean, it's just the way that – I mean, if you watch the film with the Houston Texans and the way they rushed them last year and what they've done with a healthy J.J. Watt and a healthy Jadeveon Clowney, of course, they're spectacular rushers. J.J. on the inside, Clowney on the outside. They will put them together. They'll put them together on the same side with J.J. Watt as the three technique and then Jadeveon Clowney as the rusher, and they'll attack just one offensive lineman. And if you watch that film last year, they are just bowling over people, getting right into the backfield. And if Trent Brown can protect, can prevent that type of pressure and those type of hits on Tom Brady, that's what he's there for. I don't know if he's Matt Light or Nate Solder. I didn't do a lot of watching of him when he was in San Francisco, but he is very important for the health of this quarterback, even this season, because this week's going to tell us a lot. Because if you hear Billy O'Brien speak about how good J.J. Watt has looked this summer and this preseason and what he's seen from in practice, J.J. Watt's ready to go. Jadeveon Clowney, that type of defensive front. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they did the same thing, lined up over Trent Brown and just see what he's got.
Yeah, you know, and their scheme worked last year as far as their ability to get after Tom Brady. They hit him 8 times. They sacked him 5 times. But he still was 25 of 35, 378 yards, and 5 touchdowns. And so Roman O'Connell is a defensive coordinator. I know Vrabel was the guy, but Rack was helping also. If that's the best case scenario, hey, guys, let's hit the quarterback. They did it, and it still didn't work.
Yeah, they got the strip sack for a touchdown, I believe. There were various rushes where the entire defensive front didn't have a hand in the dirt because they don't want to give away the count in terms of who's down and who's not. Getting pressure from a defensive back that blitzes when a defensive lineman drops out. Romeo is the same beliefs. Who do you think taught Mike Vrabel a lot of those things? It was Romeo Crennel. He's there now. You'll see a lot of those times where the offensive lineman, can they physically pass protect? Yes. But can they physically pass protect on the run post-snap when they have to decipher who the down men are and then who the pickup is? That's the complexity of it all. So a thinking man's sort of game in terms of offensive line, finding who the right count is, finding the defensive lineman, and then the back protecting after that, that's the equation that they'll have to come up with. So defensively, the Houston Texans, they're going to do everything they can to confuse and continue to get those hits on Brady.
You know, Teddy, when we looked about this team and are they going to be a successful year, usually you just say, well, just look at the defense, because Tom's Tom. The offense is going to fly, and they're going to do their things. But they lost a lot of talent, guys catching balls. And I'm curious, are you concerned about the depth of this wide receiving group? Do you think it will be an issue?
If we start to see running backs continue to go down, I'm going to start to get worried because, I mean, you're going to have the routes from Hogan. Gronkowski will, of course, be a major piece. A package for Cordero Patterson. The kid Dorsett, vertical routes from Dorsett. But James White, Rex Burkhead, those type of guys will be heavily involved in terms of the passing game until it gets solidified. You got to hold on in September until Julian Edelman comes back. That's what you got to do. But what's unique is what I've told you before is offensively figuring out things because of injuries, and then defensively also getting used to a different play caller in Brian Flores. So that's a lot going on in a month where the Patriots consider it being an extension of the preseason.
In talking about Brian Flores, do you see anything differently with that defense? They've got some younger defensive guys, some guys that were hurt last year, guys that are back. Danny Shelton has been added into the equation inside. Do they look more aggressive to you that they maybe they're going to attack that quarterback a little bit more than what we've seen with their defenses in the past?
It'll have to be, I mean, a game plan basis on. We'll have to look at what they come out from each opponent. I don't think there's going to be, I don't know how much pressure you want to throw at Deshaun Watson this week because of his ability to get out of the pocket. But from what I've heard from players is that the big difference between B-Flow and Matty P is presentation. Presentation and teaching techniques within the meeting room, how it's presented to them, how some of them actually feel like it's a little bit easier to digest, while at the same time it's a lot of similar concepts. You know, how we achieves that is just think of different teachers you had with various subjects in high school or whatever, college or whatever it may have been. I get it from this guy. The other guy, I don't know what he's talking about. There are certain players that can't get what certain defensive coordinators are talking about because of teaching styles. Now, I was in there with Matty P's teaching style. There was not any type of problems that I had with it. But if the players believe that B-Flow is communicating it just a little bit better, you know, that's good for them.
You're a smart guy. Plus, you understood rocket science, right?
Yeah, he was. I mean, but go ahead.
No. I was going to shift gears. If you guys are okay with that,
hey,
I feel like
he's here to talk to you.
Yeah, that's true. I know. It's really just humoring your guys. You know, we've just been monitoring this Le'Veon Bell situation, and I'm just amazed at how some of the players on that Steelers team can vocally, openly be critical of Le'Veon Bell for holding out because he has a contract dispute. It's like the linemen are taking it personally. It seems out of place to me.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% on that. I'm seeing what Foster said, and I think it was pouncy a little bit from DeCastro, not as bad, but it's like, wait a second here. You got a 26-year-old running back that's thinking about his long-term career and the deal that he can possibly get next offseason, and you don't understand. And so that's something that teammates always were supportive of their other teammates when they were trying to get a contract or had a contract dispute. You understand the business side of it. Now, unless Lev was telling these guys, I'm coming in Wednesday, and then all of a sudden he doesn't come in. If you tell me something and then you don't do it, of course, maybe they can have a problem. But, I mean, everyone wants to win. You want to win. You want your best team out there. But I always saw it as teammates understanding and not taking it personal in terms of a player who has a goal of making a certain contract decision, and you would support it internally by your teammates. I don't get it either, Christian.
You know, speaking of money, I know you probably work with a lot of guys that kind of shake their heads at how the Patriots do it. As far as, you know, you got Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback in the league, fighting to earn some incentives to get this, you know, guys like, who's the guy, Bradford, kind of like his money. Then you got Gronk, yeah. You know, fighting to be better than he was last year when he was all pro or similar to that to get an extra $4 million. You know how the Patriots work. We do, too. This isn't uncommon. But do others look at it and say, why wouldn't they just pay these guys like everybody else's?
Yeah, well, I just remember even way back when Tom was breaking through in 2001, and I remember them getting that contract done, an early extension to make sure he was a part of it. I mean, even with Gronkowski, they signed him early before he was, I believe, close to being a free agent or getting a franchise tag, anything like that. But just I think that's what they've done a great job of, recognizing the future of the organization within which players and making that commitment before the player can even see the horizon. Because once you get them in that long-term deal, then you have them in multiple years in their contract, and really, what are you going to do? You know, you're just going to add an incentive here, an incentive there. And if the Steelers would have done that to Le'Veon Bell, I mean, two-plus years ago, if they could anticipate and foresee and be proactive what kind of player that he might become, maybe we wouldn't have this problem right now. And that's what the Patriots, I think, have done a good job of.
They've done a great job, but it's pretty interesting when you look at Donald, you look at Mac, you look at guys that held out. They haven't had that. I mean, Gronk said it the other day. I could have held out, but he didn't hold out. And we all know that when you look at him as a true receiver, he's not making the $15 or $16 million bucks a year. The amazing thing is that the Patriots have been able to get guys to accept that over the years, Teddy. How is that?
Man, you know, does success become a part of that? Do all of the banners in the stadium become a part of that? Do all these players like Rob and Tom care about winning that much also? You know, I've always believed that, you know, don't jump ship, right the ship. You know, stay where you are. That's what I did, stay there my entire career. But maybe that's what these guys are seeing, that it's not going to be greener other places. Rob sees Tom. Tom sees Rob. Two great players that can be productive together and win championships. Maybe that means a lot to these guys.
Man, you were one of those guys. You were one of those guys. You could have gone elsewhere. You could have made a lot more money. Correct?
I remember taking free agents trips to Seattle, to Cleveland, to Green Bay. I remember walking into Green Bay my free agent year. I forget what it was, but then what I walked in was I saw the Super Bowl trophy from 1996, and I almost wanted to walk out. That's the one they beat us my rookie year, and I was like, man, I am not coming here.
Stole it from you.
You know, talk about you know overcoming things and righting the ship and fixing it instead of bailing on it. I think of the Houston Texans, and I don't know if, there's this mental block when it comes to playing the Patriots, and especially in Gillette. And maybe it's the Letterman jackets that they wore like 6 years ago, and they just got spanked when they came up here. But how do they, I guess, break through the wall? What are you telling these guys? Is it, because when they wore the Letterman jacket, they were 11-1 and they got spanked.
Yeah, great point, too, because, I mean, I think even Billy O'Brien had to learn how to coach in certain games when you play a team like the Patriots and how to win those games. Example is last year when the Texans were up here, when they had that fourth and short. They had the fourth and short, and I believe they elected to kick the field goal. And that, of course, gave Brady the chance to drive down the field and win the football game. Against the Patriots, in a situation like that, you go for it. Fourth and one, put the game away. Deshaun Watson, that's how you win the football game. And I think Bill O'Brien's going to learn from that situation. I'm excited to see if there's another situation like that in this game where, you got to either put it all on the line with your offense because you know who's on the other side of the ball, and you got to be aggressive. You know, unfortunately, that's what the Philadelphia Eagles did before the half, and they ran that Philly special I heard you guys talking about earlier. But that type of aggressiveness, that's how you win. It's not, let's kick the field goal and put it in the hands of our defense last year.
Like Jacksonville.
Jacksonville did not do it.
You could tell week three last year that defense was gassed. And to put them out on the field to try to stop them one more time just was not the right thing to do against the particular team in that particular game you were playing. So they have to learn as players and organizations and head coaches how to win certain games like that.
All right, Mr. Bruschi, I thought you treated me and Mr. Maloney
with a lot of respect.
And,
he's a part of the family.
You could be a little bit better to Christian, but we'll work on that for next Wednesday.
So Teddy's part of the Wolfpack now.
He's part of the Wolfpack. All right, at least on Wednesday. Talk to you next week, Teddy. See you, bud.
Okay, Christian, see you next week, man.
All right, buddy.
Can't help himself. Jeez, unbelievable. Can't help himself.